The next time you're on Interstate 80, stop in and see the folks at the Iowa 80 Truck Stop at Exit 284 in Walcott, Iowa. They're always open and ready to serve you. Enjoy a sit-down meal at the Iowa 80 Kitchen or grab a bite from one of their 9 quick-serve restaurants. You'll love their clean restrooms, huge gift store, beautiful convenience store, and, of course, the Super Truck Showroom stocked with plenty of chrome, lights, and more. While you're there, don't forget to visit the Iowa 80 Trucking Museum next door. It's free. The entire team at the Iowa 80 is very excited to celebrate 60 years with you. They look forward to being your home away from home for another 60 years. Sending you a giant thank you from Iowa 80, the world's largest truck stop on I-80, exit 284 in Walcott, Iowa. Iowa 80.
It's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show from the Uniden America Studios. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America and around the planet, we are Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Oh, reading the... Just went to see if there's any update in the headlines out there.
Yeah.
And Fox News headline, former top Biden aide confirms reports of White House officials alleged bullying and sexual harassment of staffers.
Oh.
White House Chief of Staff says Biden's have full confidence in Anthony Brunell's character. Well, who was he? We'll get to that in just a moment. The reported actions of a top White House official that includes allegations of longtime bullying and verbal sexual harassment of staffers are accurate, a former top Biden aide told Fox News Digital, who said the claim should trigger an internal investigation. Now, on Tuesday, the New York Post reported that First Lady Jill Biden's top aide, Anthony Brunell, who is openly gay, has a history of questionable work conduct, but is deemed untouchable because she views him as her work husband. Brunell, according to the report, has been known to speculate on the penis size of staffers in a move one of the publication sources believes was to make people feel uncomfortable and to gain the upper hand. It lines up with everything that I experienced working there, a former top Biden aide who wished to remain anonymous told Fox News Digital in the report. I'm surprised it's taken this long for so many staffers to speak out. I wouldn't be shocked if this empowered current and past staff to move forward from this point. According to the Post reports, by the way, I don't want to be reading this, but it's the top headline, you know. But according to the Post reports, two individuals said Brunell shared his theory that a person's thumb size correlates with their penis size. Can we just take a moment here?
No.
Okay, back here to...
what are you, hitchhiking?
The work at...
I have so many lines I can't use right now.
He allegedly did so in the current White House, in previous roles in the Biden campaign, and during Biden's vice presidency. Whoa. It is to make people uncomfortable and to have power over them, one source told the publication. Another source, so they got multiple sources here. Mm-hmm. Another source told the New York Post that Brunell has often speculated on the penis size of several individuals, including political aides and Secret Service agents.
Okay.
A third source. This thing's going to blow up because it seems like they have multiple sources here.
Yeah.
A third added that before Biden's presidency, Brunell told a colleague he had a small penis during a dispute. I will let you know that we do not debate that way here on Red Eye.
No, we don't.
Yes.
No, we don't.
We would not make, you know, we're known to make sure that we just don't tell you our argument, but make the point behind it. I don't believe that has ever been a point that we have made in any topic.
No. No. No.
By the way,
I can't say any of these lines.
But in the woke society that we live in today, especially on the left,
yeah,
they say this has been going on, and there's multiple sources now, just not just one source.
Been going on for years.
And this is top aid.
Yep.
Top aid, mm-hmm. considered untouchable, the one source said.
Well.
Because it's Jill Biden's work husband.
Work husband
was the quote.
Yeah. All right.
But you. You would think in the wokeness, or is the expectation that everyone else has to be woke? But I don't.
Well, no, it's exactly what the left does over and over again. You know, they heard that Trump said something. We have never heard. You guys invented those words.
A third added that before the Biden's presidency, Brunell told a colleague he had a small penis during a dispute. On another occasion, he commented on the, how should I say this delicately? Commented on, don't worry, any FCC representative listening, we're going to be careful here, but this is a news item. Boy, that's a disclaimer, isn't it?
Yeah, right.
Commented on the, should I say the, I'll just say this, the front of the man's pants.
Okay.
It was, quote, it was a lot of inappropriate remarks talking about other people's attractiveness and speculating about their sex lives at very weird moments, the source told the Post. That's actually sexual harassment.
Yeah.
Brunell also regularly questioned people's sexuality and would attempt to poke into their personal lives, according to the report, which came after the publication. Listen to this. Which came after the publication, the New York Post spoke to nearly a dozen current and former staffers of the Bidens. The individuals said they came forward to the New York Post because they wanted Brunell held accountable for his actions. If the White House counsel is investigating a behavior of a junior staffer in the scheduling and advance office, does that mean they're investigating Anthony Brunell, an assistant to the president, too? The former top Biden aide told Fox News Digital. A dozen sources seem like enough to trigger that type of internal investigation.
You would think.
The White House chief of staff responded to the allegations by saying he and the Bidens have full confidence in Anthony's character. His many fans at the White House know him to be both gracious and tough, holding himself up to the highest standards with a heart dedicated to public service. It is disappointing that he is a target of unfounded attacks from unnamed sources.
All right. And now for a segment called Just Something I've Noticed, brought to you by our friends at Motel 6. Just Something I've Noticed. There's a lot more yawning these days. Have you noticed that? Yeah. And the bad thing about yawning, it's contagious. Now, I'm not a scientist, but I do know that's true. You see somebody else yawn, all of a sudden, you got to yawn. You know what helps to curtail the yawning? How about a great night's rest at Motel 6? Book online at Motel6.com. Use the code CPREDEye to get 15% off your stay at Motel 6 or Studio 6. With almost 1,500 locations across the country, there's almost always a Motel 6 or Studio 6 nearby. And truck parking is available at most locations. Enjoy a clean, comfortable room at a price you will love when you use the code CPREDEye. That's the letters CPREDEye, all one word, for 15% off your stay at Motel 6 and help curtail the yawning. That's just something I've noticed. Brought to you by Motel 6.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
Probably the easiest thing I've ever done. The medication comes in the mail and it's very easy to use. I've been able to live my normal lifestyle and I've lost 20 pounds already and I've never felt better. It changed my life.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
So if the allegations are true, it's not just sexual harassment. It's as they point out here, it is a form of intimidation. You're trying to intimidate people in the room, gain control over that room. And I'd like to know which moments. I mean, there isn't a moment where it's appropriate, but my question would be, are there any settings where this was happening and employees were basically, I don't know, cornered out or whatever it is in order to any dissent that there may be in the room or question about something would be immediately squashed. Now, politically, you can get away with that all day long. But if you're talking about harassment, intimidation, the people shouldn't have to work in those conditions.
Says, meanwhile, the former aide also told Fox News Digital that the president's chief of staff should be furious at the White House over the situation. From a communications approach, I have no idea what the hell they were thinking by putting his name on a statement defending a guy accused by a dozen staffers of being a bully or worse, the former aide said. If I were him, I'd be furious that I was left up the creek without a paddle. No one was protecting him in an effort to protect a serial abuser who has been a ticking time bomb for the Bidens for over a decade. If it weren't for that book from a New York Times reporter, this would have continued to go unnoticed. Aside from associating the White House chief of staff with the culture of abuse, bullying, and harassment, they have elevated a story in an outlet they rarely treat with any credibility. I'm talking about the New York Post.
Right.
They go out of their way to tell everybody to ignore the New York Post, but when you provide a statement from the White House chief of staff, you're giving the story an avalanche of credibility and providing a permission structure for other outlets and journalists to advance the story. As Fox News did, and we're reading it. Sources told the Post they believe Brunell will not face consequences due to his proximity to the First Lady. In her book, Where the Light Enters, she thanked Brunell, saying he provided her with insights and guidance. He knows how much I love and respect him, she added. The source told the Post, working for the Bidens is like living in another century. You really cannot speak up without fear of personal or professional retaliation.
That's it. You know, in any workplace, you talk about that kind of intimidation and then that fear of retaliation. That's a massive, massive problem. And if you have a dozen, if it's true, you have a dozen sources saying this, saying the same thing. I don't know how you get around it.
And when they use they there, they're talking about multiple sources.
Exactly.
There.
Yeah.
They said, quote, he is by far the worst and most well-known abuser, but the Biden White House is a magnet for ugly and abusive workplace behavior. They continued. So it was multiple sources saying that. It's totally inexcusable in this day and age, especially with Biden's own narrative about standing up to bullies. The White House and First Lady's office did not respond to Fox News Digital's request for comment, nor did they answer whether they would investigate Burnell's actions. This is something you probably hear at the White House, you know, and with the press corps, because they probably all know him because they're in the White House all the time.
That's a great point. Who in the media knows about this and has never brought it up before the sources came out? They have to know. There's got to be people in the media.
I was not making that accusation. I was saying that they have an interest in it because they probably know who he is. Whether he was doing the same thing in front of reporters is another question that may have happened.
That's why I formed it as a question.
Yeah.
Who in the media knows about this? And how would you not? I mean, it's possible it's zero in the media were aware of it.
Well,
I would find that hard to believe.
When you have somebody who is so clueless as to how you are supposed to operate in any type of work environment, and they get away with it, and it's over a decade long he's been working for the Bidens, if you've been doing, and you have at least a dozen sources saying this for over a decade,
mm-hmm.
odds are you then, if you will do it in private, then it keeps expanding where you will have that type of attitude with other people, including reporters. I've rarely seen somebody act professionally one way for long periods of time in a very close setting. It tends to expand. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where, okay, I'm using this here. Okay, now we have reporters. We're at a party here. Mm-hmm. Or there's just some reporters hanging around. Will reporters come out and say, yeah, he said this about me? But they were afraid to say it because if they say it, they'll get blacklisted.
Well, yeah, if you're a reporter, if you're in the media and you're aware of this, you keep your mouth shut because you want your job.
Yeah, because if they're saying...
Well, the same reason that staffers at the White House...
Yeah, staffers, the sources were saying, if we say anything...
Retaliation
comes.
Mm-hmm. But will we see anybody in the media come out and say... Mm-hmm. And now, it would likely only happen if something is done here, if it shows more and more evidence that this was happening, and then this person is gone, they're no longer there. And then after that is typically when you say, oh, yeah, we were, it's the Harvey Weinstein thing. Oh, well, we knew about it. Yeah, but you were a major player in Hollywood and said nothing about it for years.
The problem with a story like this is when you have multiple sources. Now, everybody's going to look to get that one source. I can mm-hmm. see, you know, even the mainstream media. Well, look, mm-hmm. we can jump on this story. Let's give anonymity to the source and put it behind that screen, and they can talk about because that would be the next step
right. If
they don't want to come forward. But if 12 of them are saying it, odds are somebody in the next month will be on TV talking about it.
Yeah. Yeah, if there's that many.
And if it's 12 sources reporting it, how many more people will come forward
than the
12 now that they see, okay, this has become a story, 12 people have said it. And then if somebody gets the media anonymity where they can say it on a show,
mm-hmm.
then who else comes forward? And eventually somebody, names will come out.
Yeah, domino. That's the effect.
Yeah, that's a problem with these stories when you have a dozen sources saying the exact same thing.
Yeah, if it's a dozen right now.
Unless it's just that this White House, because I can see this excuse coming, has been that all these people basically were moles from the Trump campaign who got into the Biden White House.
Right, yeah. There's that many. Uh-huh, okay. And they went undetected.
Yeah.
Right.
866-90-RED-EYE.
This morning's USDA Farm Report is brought to you by Howe's Products. Tested, trusted, guaranteed since 1920.
the warmest winter in the United States on record?
The lower 48, it's coming in with its warmest winter on record. These records go back 130 years all the way to 1895.
USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey says those National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration average temperature numbers for this winter continue a recent trend.
If you look at those 130 years, now all 13 of the warmest winters have occurred since 1990, just in the last 35 years.
Rippey adds the gap between the top two all-time winter average high temperatures are not close from a climate perspective. 0.8 degrees Fahrenheit.
All that occurring despite a very sharp cold outbreak that occurred for about 10 days in the middle of February. But other than that 10 days, the other 90 plus days of winter, it was extremely warm, especially across the northern and the central United States.
I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
This report brought to you by Cenex Fuels and Lubes.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
Red Eye Radio, he's Eric Carly, and I'm Gary McNamara. In case you didn't hear it last night, it looks like two of the possible VP picks for RFK Jr. Now, understand, I'm not reading this from the Babylon Bee, even though when I woke up, I had to check to make sure it wasn't the Babylon Bee. RFK Jr. eyes Aaron Rodgers. And, yes, quarterback Aaron Rodgers and Jesse Ventura.
Please make it Jesse Ventura.
As possible vice presidential picks.
I was the governor of Minnesota. Now I live in Mexico.
Say, would he have to move back?
It's only moving.
In order to be vice president?
He'll move to Canada. That's as close as he's got. They don't want me here.
Who's they?
You tell me who they is.
I don't know.
Exactly. Nobody knows.
It's just over and over again. It would just be exhausting, but fun. Please make it Jesse Ventura. Please.
The most influential radio show in the world. On now, at this moment, Red Eye Radio.
And he's Eric Carly, and I'm Gary McNamara. Now let's just explore this, because if Robert Kennedy Jr. decides to pick Jesse Ventura, understand that if they get whatever percentage of votes, or whatever the polling says, they might be able to get into the vice presidential debate, which means it would be Jesse Ventura and Kamala Harris. She wouldn't even know where to go with him. Imagine the look on her face. And then you and I were sitting there thinking back, and we said, okay, well, who might Trump pick? Who would be the perfect one? And we went, oh, yeah. If RFK Jr. picks Jesse Ventura, then Trump needs to pick Tucker Carlson.
Yes. I agree with Tucker Carlson on the evil entities working with the government. That's where we have common ground.
And you're right, Jesse. You're right. You're right. Absolutely right.
Yeah.
What do you think, Kamala? Do you believe in the evil spirits that are being controlled by the government? For those people that don't know, Tucker Carlson actually said that. and then tweeted it out, I believe.
But he only said it because it was true. It's how the pyramids were built.
Oh, my God. This could be as funny as Celebrity Jeopardy on SNL.
It would be... I would pay money to watch... Make it pay-per-view only. I'll pay money to watch it. Please, somebody make it happen. Man, my political wish list, it would just be so great. But I was telling you during the break, just bringing up Aaron Rodgers is one thing, and that's probably because Aaron Rodgers and RFK Jr. on the whole anti-vax thing, they see eye to eye on a number of things there. He's never run for office. But Jesse Ventura goes so much further. That is such a different rabbit hole. And it makes me wonder on those, with those that were on board or maybe considering RFK Jr., if you hear him throw out the name Jesse Ventura, what is it, you know, what is that? To me, it encapsulates the entire RFK Jr. campaign perfectly.
It probably would be the most bizarre if Jesse Ventura was in it. The most, and by the way, Tucker Carlson already said he's not going to take it.
Yeah,
we just did that for
having fun.
Right. And I was trying to think of somebody else who Trump might pick and how that would be with them going after Jesse Ventura, because even though he is a liberal conspiracy theorist,
mm-hmm.
I mean, he, don't get angry at me, he had the show.
Yeah.
I forgot, what was the name of the show? Did they do all the conspiracy?
It was something, I think it was.
But it would be if he was in there, it'd be the weirdest vice presidential debate since, and I don't even like to bring this up because of his service to the country, but James Stockdale, remember when he was Perot?
Oh yeah.
Admiral Stockdale.
Yeah. Who am I? Why am I here?
Yeah. And I felt so bad because people were making fun of him, and I understand.
It just became a soundbite.
I understand that he was a vice presidential candidate, but He went through hell on earth as the most senior naval officer held mm-hmm. captive in North Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they tortured him.
Yeah.
And so to see him, you know, later on in life, you know, just be confused like that and the mocking of him, I didn't like. You know, it's the same thing that I had, you know, he wasn't really in the political arena with John McCain. I met John McCain one time, mm-hmm. and shook his hand and thanked him for his service. Mm-hmm. It didn't mean I couldn't pound on him when it came to the things that he endorsed. And I never told him this, but I told it to Russ Feingold when I had an interview with him when I worked at our affiliate KXL in Portland, Oregon. And he was furious at me because it was McCain-Feingold. I said, what you're doing is absolutely un-American. Mm-hmm. You're trying to dilute the First Amendment to the Constitution. You're trying to justify it, and you're full of it. And he was furious. He stormed out of that studio.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have said the same to John McCain, even with his incredible service and what he went through was pure hell. But the fact is, once you enter the political arena, you can't throw BS at people, and that's what McCain did with McCain-Feingold.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it was found unconstitutional. And I told, you know, Russ Feingold, this is unconstitutional. And I raised my voice. He raised his back. But then he got angry because I probably said something like, who the hell do you think you are?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there were some people that said, well, you have no respect. I go, well, that's why a lot of guests don't like talking to me, because I'm going to be blunt with them. I'm not going to play the game and not confront people so they'll come on my show again.
Well,
I never was going to do that. I didn't do it with him. But most people thought it was very positive, because since it's about time somebody stood up you know, to him. And we will do the same with Josh Hawley, saying that, well, every group should have free speech rights except corporations. And he's playing the Democrat game. The corporations are evil. And the profit motive is more evil than any type of political motive. We had a discussion on that the other day, that, you know, corporate greed is worse than political greed. Well, I'll make the case, as we did yesterday, that political greed is way worse than corporate greed. But in essence, corporate greed is not greed because everything is done voluntarily.
Right.
And so for Hawley to do that, it's reprehensible that he does that and tries to portray himself as a conservative doing it.
So, here's a question that just entered my mind as we have this fun with a visualization of Kamala Harris on a
good
debate stage.
Good, bring it back to humor. I was getting too serious
with,
there.
Kamala Harris on the stage with Jesse Ventura, or I'll just ask, I'll start with this question. If there isn't a presidential debate, would there be a vice presidential debate?
Oh, that's a great question.
And beyond that, who's the greater liability on a debate stage for the Democratic Party? Joe Biden with his cognitive issues, or Kamala Harris with her cluelessness? Because if she gets into one of these, you know, where she latches onto a word and repeats it over and over again, it would be bad. This is why I would love it if Sarah Huckabee Sanders were the pick. I don't think she's going to be the pick for Trump. Man, she would have no problem on a debate stage with anybody.
If she was there with Kamala Harris
and Jesse Ventura,
I could see her going, why am I even here?
Well, I would say.
Or is it me?
I'll yield my time to my opponents. I'd like to yield.
I yield all my time.
All of my time to my opponents.
As you said, Trump should do if he's on, just let Biden monologue.
Yeah.
Just go, no, I disagree with Joe, but Joe, you're completely wrong and un-American. Throw something like that at him.
Well,
and then just go, and I give the rest of my 5 minutes to him to respond.
Well, think about this, too. If the timer were going off with Joe, right? But he's mumbling, and he's incoherent. And then, okay, your time is up, Mr. President, Mr. Trump, blah, blah, blah. No, I would like to yield my time so that the president can finish what he was just saying. Let him keep mumbling. And that's what you're setting up. Because I can't tell you what would be worse, who would be worse on a debate stage, Biden or Kamala. I really don't. I can't tell.
Yeah, flip a coin.
Yeah.
On that one. Finally on the show, I saw this article yesterday that the National Health Institute of Great Britain has issued a ban on puberty blockers for children who identify as transgender. You know the first thought I had? They're not doing it. The first thought I had, and they're not saying it, but it's the first thought I had was, they're not doing it because they believe it's immoral. They must be trying to save money.
For the NHS, yeah.
For the NHS, it's the first thing I thought of.
Right.
But they say they base their decision to ban puberty blockers for children this week on there not being enough evidence on the procedure's safety or clinical effectiveness. That eventually will be the law in the United States. It may go state by state, but the UK government also endorsed the landmark decision, hailing it as being the best interest of children. This whole thing is changing because they're just, I mean, the transgender movement, they're going crazy. Good God, Lady Gaga with Dylan Mulvaney. And then she got blasted and she goes, this is all about hatred. And you and I said, absolutely it is. for some reason, Lady Gaga has gone Lady Cuckoo and hates women.
That's the problem, is that you've got now, you know, you have to dismiss feminists, the feminist movement, everything that women have been fighting for with women's rights. You have to throw it all out.
I did see the other day, it was like, International Women's Day. Wow. International Women's Day, where feminism is nowhere to be seen.
Exactly.
It's like, wow, what a great point to make.
Yeah.
Because the feminist movement has died in this country.
It's over. You can't be a feminist.
Right. It died in this country because the leadership of all the National Organization of Women all have endorsed that men dictate the definition of women when they choose to.
Yep.
So the liberal feminist movement in the United States crumbled to the man.
Yep.
And the man decides what the definition of a woman is because
the man says so. Sorry, ladies, you had your chance.
Yep. You had your chance, but liberal feminism decided men know better. Gloria Steinem's new book, Men Know Better.
Yes.
I mean, it's such a bizarre world you have to live in.
It's, if you're going to be on the far left, it's what you're promoting. It's what you think. You can't say any different. The men have a right to play women's sports. Wow. Title IX gone. Doesn't matter. Yeah. Feminism gone.
And you saw
Doesn't matter.
You saw James in New York is suing Nassau County.
Yeah.
You must allow men to compete against women.
Right. Well, this is where they were going in the last year of the Obama administration. You know, it was that joint edict with the Department of Education and the Department of Justice, because you're violating the rights of students. Well, that means the DOJ was going to come after them.
Male chauvinists are saying, see, we were right.
Exactly. Like we always are, they would say. They would say. I didn't say it. I mean, I said it. It wasn't.
You said what they would say.
It's not what I was thinking.
Boy, you're really trying to get out of this, aren't you?
I hope the door's unlocked when I get home.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Carley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Have we heard from Aaron Rodgers or Jesse Ventura since RFK Jr. said that those are two of his possible VP picks?
They won't let me speak.
I don't know if I can handle that again. I had enough when he ran
for
Minnesota governor, and I wasn't even living in Minnesota, but remember, that was a national story.
Well, the good news
because
is,
it was like, we're moving away from the two parties, and we went, no, you're not.
Well, the good news is this won't go on for 4 years. It'll only go on until November 5th because he's not going to win.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
That's right.
So there's that. Okay. Just one debate. Just one, please.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.